Whole Earth Access is the leading Apple Macintosh reseller in Northern California, and Whole Earth is now featuring the expandable Apple Macintosh 2SI with 3 megabytes of RAM and a 40 megabyte hard drive.
The small footprint Macintosh 2SI is excellent for business, education, or home use. And amazingly, the price has dropped over $400 to only $1,299.
Shop only Whole Earth Access for Apple Macintosh computers. Nobody beats our selection, our product knowledge, and nobody ever beats our prices.
Hello, and welcome to Hookcast, the best 30-plus minute app conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Eric Von Elijah. Join me today. He's been eating Tide Pods long before it was cool. Leander Kenny is here. That's why his teeth are so clean and sparkly. Also joining us, if he started a soap opera, there's no doubt it'd be called The Bald and the Beautiful. Buster Heidi is here.
Hey, dude.
Heyo. You are still bald, right?
I am still bald, yeah.
I know you chopped off your beard, and is it still gone?
The beard, yeah, it's been gone for a while now.
Yeah.
Apologies.
I try not to think about that.
Yeah. I haven't had it in over a year now, yeah.
No hair anywhere on your upper extremities?
I have hair, just chest hair, lots of chest hair still.
Is it sprouting up through your shirt?
Yeah, pretty much.
He's going to buy his shirt to size up. Okay, let's see here. Do we have any Apple stuff to talk about this week? Let's see. Oh my gosh, we actually do. So as you got from the title, this week, the HomePod, the good, the bad, the ugly. The reviews are in, and I have to admit, they're somewhat shocking, in my opinion. We'll cover the reviews, we'll cover our thoughts, and also, Leander and I both have HomePods arriving tomorrow, so we'll cover that. We'll cover that next week, and I am very excited. My excitement meter is at an 11 out of 9. Not out of 10, because I'm even more excited than out of a 10. Out of a 9, I'm an 11. What about you, Leander?
Oh, yeah, I'm very excited about it.
Especially after reading the reviews. So that will be next week. Why does Apple have to ship these things out on Friday? Always on Friday. Why can't they deliver them on a Thursday when we finish recording our show? That would be so much more convenient for us. Also, there's something very strange going on at Apple. Oh, yes. Very strange indeed. Buster's going to tell us what that strange thing is and what it could mean. And if you stick around to the end, we're going to wrap up with an all-new What We're Into. This is the segment where we tell you guys about, well, what we're into, you know, things that aren't necessarily technology related. They could be movies, they could be television shows, they could be anything from pop culture. You just never know. I got a very weird pick this week, and I think it might be exactly what Leander picked as well. Before we dive into HomePod and everything you want to know about it, let me go ahead and say thank you to Casper for supporting this episode. Casper is a sleep brand that continues to revolutionize its line of products to create an exceptionally comfortable sleep experience one night at a time. Now with 3 mattress models, the original Casper, the the Wave, and the Essential, Casper mattresses are perfectly designed to soothe and cradle your natural geometry. Not to mention, the breathable design helps you sleep cool and regulates your body temperature throughout the night, and it's delivered right to your door in a small, how do they do that, size box with free shipping and returns in the US and Canada. But the best part is, you can be sure of your purchase because Casper has a 100-night risk-free sleep-on-it trial. Sleep on it, try it out, see how you like it. After all, you spend 1/3 of your life sleeping, so you should be comfortable. Head on over to casper.com/cultcast and use code cultcast at checkout to save $50 towards the purchase of your Casper. Also, check out Casper on Amazon. I always say Casper mattresses have good reviews. I mean, like 4.5 out of 5 stars virtually everywhere they're reviewed. And you can go and you can see how people are liking their Caspers and get some more information before you decide to make your purchase if you'd like. And when you're ready to buy, casper.com/cultcast. Remember to use code cultcast at checkout to save $50 towards your mattress purchase. Terms and conditions do apply. Okay. Leander, you said you were surprised at the HomePod reviews. You had something you wanted to say about them. The reviewers themselves.
Yeah, I read a few, and I saw a whole bunch, you know, in my Twitter feed, and I skimmed the headlines, and it was just sort of, you know, I think it's the same Apple, the same problem Apple gets every single time it releases a new product, which is the reviews are almost kind of really, really negative. The initial reviews. Mm-hmm. You know, they all, at least, you know, if you scan the headlines, it's all like, you know, it's the hardware's great, but the rest of it sucks, and it's, you know, don't buy now, you know, not for early adopters, that kind of stuff. You know, it was all, there's a lot of negativity in it, which is always par for the course, isn't it? I find, you know, I think, you know, the mainstream tech reviewers just love to point out the shortcomings and sort of focus on that. And I don't think it sort of jives with a lot of people's, yeah, I guess it's fine to set expectations, and that's good. This is why they're useful, right? People could, consumers can read them. And so, okay, well, it's not going to do this and it's not going to do that. But it's like the early iPod. Do you remember when the iPod came out? You know, and Apple's design intent was to make a really simple to use music player that you could take your massive music library with you on your go. And then, but the reviews were like, oh, it doesn't do this and it doesn't do that. It doesn't have an FM radio. It doesn't... you know, there was a whole bunch of different criticisms of that, comparing it to all these really crappy MP3 players were out at the time that did a million and one different things. Plus people's unrealistic expectations. People thought, you know, they're going to come out with some kind of Newton replacement. And I think the same thing's sort of going on here. You know, people are comparing it to Google Home and to Siri. To Alexa and Amazon smart speakers. And, you know, they point out that it can't summon an Uber. It can't order a pizza. It won't give you a cooking recipe. And all this other stuff that you know, the rival smart speakers can do, but frankly, no one ever uses.
Exactly. I was just thinking that.
They don't really review it on its face, which is that it's a speaker that you can command to play music with your voice.
It's the Apple Hi-Fi reborn is really what it is. It's not. It's people say smart speaker and they think of the Echo, but it's not an Echo. And I personally, I'm okay with that. I don't want an did you hear that? My ECHO just came alive. You can't have this conversation in the room with one of those damn things. It's constantly interrupting you as soon as you try to talk about it. I don't want another Amazon Alexa product. I'll say it that way so I don't get any interruptions. And so when I was reading the reviews, people kept talking about the sound quality, which we'll talk about here in a minute. And I was hearing exactly what I wanted to hear. And now I'm even more excited to get my hands on this thing because it seems like Apple is delivering what they said they were going to deliver. And that is a speaker that sounds incredible, is music focused. But I think what you just said sums it up. Unfortunately, great hardware and the software sucks. And I think that second point is probably true. And actually, let me say one other quick thing. Whenever we have a conversation about new products like this, we can't win. No. The poor dudes at the Cultcast, we just can't win. If we fanboy about a product, we hear from people that say, oh, this product actually sucks, and here are all the reasons why, and you guys were totally wrong, right? And they get pissed off at us. And if we talk about what we don't like about the product, if we're too negative on a product, then we always hear from the people who love it. And they're like, why are you being so hard on the product? You guys don't even like Apple. Why are you doing this podcast? You should just quit. So I realize no matter what we say here, we're going to piss off people from both camps. I'm sorry. That's just the way it always works. And I find it funny that we always get these comments that are contradictory to what we say on the podcast whenever we talk about a new product like this. They're controversial. They're always controversial. There are always people that feel both ways, especially about this product. People seem to be divided on whether this product needs to exist, whether it's a cool product or whether it totally sucks, whether Apple is still able to innovate or whether they're going to be going out of business in the next 2 years. We're going to hear from everyone. So, sorry. Preamble over. Leander.
Okay. All right. Well, we have a roundup. We have a meta review on the site, on cultofmag.com. That sort of is summed up by the headline, which is, you know, superb sound, stupid Siri. You can check that out if you want to see, like, you know, what all the different reviewers were saying. Like you said, you know, TechCrunch's review, quote, Apple's HomePod is easily the best sounding mainstream smart speaker ever. Now, that's quite a statement. It's got better separation and bass response than anything else in its size, and boasts a nuance and subtlety of sound that pays off the 7 years Apple has been working on it, end quote. So, you know, I mean, that's a pretty ringing, and that was true for a lot of reviews, wasn't it? A lot of people said exactly the same thing. The Wall Street Journal, in fact, as well, you know, quote, the HomePod sounds noticeably richer and fuller than almost every other speaker we've tested. Apple's audio engineering team did something really clever and new with the HomePod, and it really works. I'm not sure there's anything else out there that sounds better for the price, or even several times the price.
That's the part that made my nipples go. You know, actually, I wanted to point out one thing about the TechCrunch review, too. Matthew Panzerino is the one that did that review, as he often does for TechCrunch. And he had a short section on why you should, or he qualified himself as a reviewer first, which I thought was nice. And apparently he worked at a high-end audio store selling high-end audio equipment, you know, stereos that cost between $500 and $20,000. So he has an ear that is tuned for the minutiae of great audio. And he was very positive on the way the HomePod sounds. So having someone that's qualified to listen and make those determinations, again, made me even more excited for the HomePod. As long as it sounds incredible, that's really my number one. That's the only thing I care about at this point. Lander, are you looking for anything else besides that?
Well, yeah, you know, I'd like it to make me a cappuccino and
rub your shoulders,
look after my kids after a long and day. Do their homework and write a book about Tim Cook for me. I'd love to do all that sort of stuff, but I'll settle for good, you know, good sound. Yeah, no, good sound is a great way to start. You know, it's a great place to begin.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think it's going to get better, obviously, right, with the software updates.
I think so. I think
You know, and in fact, it's already hobbled, isn't it, at launch. You know, it doesn't do a bunch of things that they think, you know, stereo, I think, is a pretty important feature that's missing. Also, you know, multi-room home audio and a bunch of other stuff. You know, I think it's also going to develop, and I think probably, hopefully, it'll develop fairly quickly, you know, especially if they have a fairly decent installed base.
We're going to go through some of the things that don't look very good about the HomePod here in a minute, and some of them are really not good, but they are all software related. So that's one of the reasons why I'm not really worried about a lot of these issues, because Apple is going to make this thing much better as time goes on.
Right.
And it seems where they really got it right is in the hardware and two key areas. I mean, first one, again, the sound, and second one, I think it was TechCrunch that was saying that its ability to discern your voice when you're speaking to it is better than any other speaker that's out there, which surprised me because the ECHO is very good. I mean, uncannily good at recognizing your voice. Even if it's playing music, there could be people talking in the background. You could have the TV on. And when you say the trigger word, it immediately comes on and it can understand your commands even through all that noise. It's actually pretty amazing that it can do that. And again, I think it was TechCrunch that was saying that the HomePod is even better at that than the Alexa products are. So that's the stuff that's important, right? If it's just a software problem,
right,
well, they can fix that. They can fix that later.
Yeah. And 350 for, you know, for a speaker that you know is again reviewed this well is amazing, you know, because I mean you know, the Sonos speakers, I mean, their top of the line ones are you know, $500, so it's a good deal cheaper than those.
And I mean, the fact that the Wall Street Journal said it sounds good as speakers that cost up to three times more, that's high praise, as Nick Cage would say. And I probably would not buy a $1,000 speaker, especially because it doesn't have all the intelligence that this speaker has. I mean, the convenience factor, again, for this speaker is going to be off the charts. Just have a great sounding speaker and something that also connects to your iPhone and connects to your Mac and that and those kind of devices, I think. It makes the usability so much better than other just dumb speakers. So let's talk about some of the things that maybe aren't so hot on HomePod.
So this is a good one. The one review I really enjoyed was the New York Times one, and it starts off with a really pretty damning experience that the reviewer Brian Chen, our old colleague at Wired, you know, said to it simply, you know, play some music, and immediately it kicks off with what was the name of the band it was playing?
Dashboard Confessionals. People do listen to Dashboard Confessionals, though. So.
Right. He was horrified. And, you know, he thought, okay, well, you know, it's only day two. Apple says that it takes a little while for it to learn my music preferences. You know, I'll give it a week or so, which is how long he had the speaker test. But, you know, by the end of the week, it wasn't doing any better at all.
Hmm.
And the music recommendations they came up with were horrible, apparently. It was like everything. It was all mainstream stuff, but, like, totally outside of his taste. And it apparently didn't learn whatsoever. Even when he was playing, you know, like, I'm not really sure. Do you know, what are the details of how it is supposed to learn?
Well, if it works like the Alexa does. So I've had this experience a lot with the Alexa. We listen to dinner, or we listen to music. We listen to dinner while we eat our music. And my daughter likes to listen to Disney music. So I'll ask the Alexa to play different soundtracks from different movies. Like a big one that we listen to a lot is Mary Poppins, right? So I'll say, Alexa, play music from Mary Poppins. Well, there's a zillion different Mary Poppins types of music out there. There's Broadway productions, there's the Disney movies, there's other albums. And so originally when we would ask that question, it would go and it would fetch music from the Broadway production. And then we would correct it and we would tell it, no, we want the movie version, you know, like the Mary Poppins movie. Well, after maybe one or two times of telling it that, it figured out that that's what we wanted. And from now on, when we ask, that's what it goes and gets. And it sounds like the Apple or the HomePod doesn't do that. So it's going to continue playing the wrong music when you ask it for a specific album. It might think you're talking about a different album. And that is highly annoying because when you control something with your voice and it doesn't give you what you want, it's like when you ask Siri to do something for you and it messes up all your words, like it immediately sends your blood boiling. You know, it makes you so angry that it's not working because there's no screen, there's no other way to interact with it. It has to recognize what you're saying. Otherwise, you have to dig your phone out, go into Spotify, pick the song that you want, and it just takes a lot longer. So it sounds like the HomePod is not working very well in that regard yet.
Well, two things. One, dinner time at your household sounds like hell.
You would love dinner time in my house, you know? But you're not invited. And if you do come, we're going to listen to Disney music nonstop at volume 10 the entire time.
I'm bringing some earplugs if I come to eat at your house. And then two.
My daughter is going to sit in your lap, too.
I don't mind that. I love little children, but goodness gracious me, this isn't a Disney tunes. Do you think wouldn't it learn from the preferences you set in, how you've ranked music in your music library?
I haven't ranked anything in my music library. Have you?
No. Well, a couple of things. Every now, okay. I started trying to do that. Like I said, I love a track and stuff like that, but I don't know how much, that'll be interesting to find out whether it starts playing that stuff, the stuff that I've ranked.
Are you doing that in Apple Music?
Yeah.
Through my iPhone. Well, so yeah. you have a hope that it will actually take that stuff into consideration.
I've only liked a handful of tracks, but, that would be interesting to know, wouldn't it?
Huh. And also, I've liked a bunch of stuff in Spotify, but again, and we knew this is going to be the biggest problem with the HomePod is there. I can confirm there is compatibility with Spotify, but it's only via AirPlay, just as I suspected. That doesn't mean that. Well, that's not a major bummer for me. I think it's still going to work. I'm going to try my HomePod for 2 weeks, and we'll see how it goes. I'm going to evaluate all this and see how the experience goes with Spotify. I don't mind controlling things via AirPlay, but you're not going to be able to control tracks with your voice if you're listening to Spotify. The only way you'll be able to do it is on your phone.
Right. And, one thing, a lot of people use Spotify, right? Apple Music is definitely the underdog
than half the user base of Spotify.
Right. And, in the New York Times review, Brian admitted that he didn't actually spell it out, but he was saying that when he asked Spotify to play tracks, Amazon ECHO and the Google Home to play tracks, it picked up in Spotify where it left off. The implication being that he's a Spotify user rather than Apple Music user. So maybe that is why the recommendations were sucking, because he wasn't using Apple Music.
Well, geez, if that's the reason why, he should have disclosed that, because one of the big, depending on how you look at it, one of the big pluses for this speaker, or one of the big minuses for this speaker, is the tight integration with Apple Music. It's meant to be used with Apple Music. And the part that sucks is it doesn't seem like they took it into consideration, or I'm sure they consciously decided not to include any integration with Spotify whatsoever. So if you use Apple Music, you're probably going to love this speaker. In fact, Eddie Q was saying that Apple's using analytics, and I think this is only through Apple Music, to determine how each song should sound. So they're doing analytics based on every song, and the HomePod will tune itself per song. That's what it made it sound like it was going to do when he was talking about it at this conference he did recently. And so you don't get those kind of benefits if you're not listening to Apple Music, and why would you assume that you would? It has almost... they neutered this thing as much as they could with other music services. It's basically an Apple Music machine at this point, which we mentioned this when we talked about HomePod before, is its biggest issue. Its biggest issue by far. Apple really shot themselves in the foot.
Well, actually, there's another issue, I think.
What's that?
Well, which is the next point here. You know, HomePod only syncs with one iCloud account.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And one thing that I was really surprised about, which I didn't realize, is that it'll only respond to one voice.
Well, Nilay Patel from The Verge made an interesting point. Apple already knows how to determine whose voice is who because it does it with your iPhone. Like when you say, hey, Siri, it doesn't react to other people's voices. It only reacts to yours. So they already know how to do this, but they're not doing it in the HomePod.
Yeah, right. Well, your iPhone is a personal device, isn't it? Everyone's got their own. But this is a communal, in a household, it's going to be a communal speaker.
One of the other things that the Verge review mentioned, which I didn't consider, and it's really kind of scary, is that you can read your text messages or send text messages via the HomePod. But anyone who's on your Wi-Fi network can speak to your HomePod and read your text messages or send a text message in your name to the people on your contacts list. They can.
Yeah, they can.
They can. Anyone who talks to the HomePod can ask it to read your text messages if you have that feature turned on. And I think it's turned on by default. And they can also respond to messages. And I think they can even send new messages to people who are in your contacts list.
Okay, so I'm confused then. So it does respond to multiple voices.
Let's see. How do I say this? Anyone can talk to it, but it's not able to tell if you talk to it which iCloud account it should use. So let's say like with an Amazon product, if you and your wife talk to it, it will interact with your respective accounts. With the HomePod, everything is being routed through one iCloud account. So anyone can talk to it, but all the commands are being routed through one iCloud account, one Apple Music account, right? So it considers you all the same person. Does that make sense?
I see. Yeah. Right. And this is a problem we've had in the past, though. Like with, you know, we've got an iMac in our dining room, and you know, everyone uses it, but it's like synced to my account. And then we have another computer that's synced to my wife's account, you know, that everyone uses. And I've been for a long time meaning to set up like a family account,
right?
That would be neutral and that wouldn't sync with it, you know, my calendar or my wife's calendar. But I never, you know, I just never bothered to do it. So and this seems like this might be a good idea to do that in this situation, right? Set up a family account.
I mean, what does that even mean? Setting up a family account, well, is that even something that you can do, or are you just creating a normal account?
You just create a new iTunes
identity,
right? You know, and call it the Caners or whatever.
Oh man, that's such a pain in the ass though to do that. And then, I mean, is it actually useful? Is that iCloud account actually useful? Is that reminders list actually useful? Because no one's actually using it. It's like a communal space.
Well, you might be able to set
that one's actually using.
You can set a family calendar, right? So, and then you can do family sharing, and you can make it the master account that all your other accounts link to for family sharing. I mean, I haven't really figured it out, and I'll try to see whether it would work. But I don't know. Wouldn't it work?
That's going to have to be something that you'd play around with. I don't know if I'd want to mess with all that. I'm just going to have everything running through my. Well, I'm going to have this in my studio here, so no one else will be able to talk to it, but me.
Right,
so,
well,
I don't have to worry about it. But and then when they add all those other family features, which I think they probably will eventually, that's when it will get moved to the main residence, to the main home. But for right now, it's just going to stay in here. Let me run through some of these other bad and ugly things here. So Siri is limited, very limited. Doesn't compete with Alexa or Google Intelligence for sure. TechCrunch said Siri doesn't do a lot of other stuff that isn't about audio content. Apple says this is because the vast majority of people use these speakers for basic commands like playing music and setting timers, which is true for me. But it does offer best-in-class voice recognition, vastly outstripping the ability of other smart speakers to hear you when you're trying to trigger a command at a distance while music is playing, et cetera, you can only set one timer at a time. This seemed like it was something that really annoyed The Verge. They were like, why can't you set more than one timer at one time? I'm like, how many timers do you have going? I never have one timer going off ever.
I like at least
how many cups of tea
six
you
or seven.
Try to keep track of, it's like.
Well, actually, it's not that uncommon. We've had timers going, quite frequently, a couple of times going.
All right, well, I guess you have multiple people using it too. The music smarts, or the smarts are in the music tech. So when people think of a smart speaker, they think it's going to be like the Alexa products. But the smarts are really in the way that the speaker tunes itself. So when you first turn it on, it goes through a series of aural exercises, and it will send sounds across your room, and then it will tune itself so that it sounds best in your room. And it sounds like a gimmick, but from the reviews that I've read, it actually works very well. And the speaker also includes an accelerometer inside. So if you move it, it knows that you moved it, and it will retune itself again to make the music sound the best in your space. I've heard some people say that these don't sound good in big rooms. If you are in a small space, maybe a medium-sized space, it will sound incredible. Incredible is the word that a lot of people are using. It sounds incredible. Like like the hype that it's going to sound good. It's living up to that so far. People are saying it sounds even better than Apple promised, and they're very excited about it. So that's the part that's really getting me amped. And there are some reviews that are saying that if you don't use Apple Music, you shouldn't even bother with this product. It's not for you. I think that's look, I don't want to get graphic, but that's horse hockey. I think that if you don't use Apple Music, you should still try it. I'm going to try it. It does work with Spotify via AirPlay, and so I think it's worth a shot. Again, it might be slightly less convenient than using it with Apple Music, but if it sounds as good as a speaker that costs $1,000, I mean, isn't that worth it? Isn't that small inconvenience still worth it? I think so.
It's funny because even cheaper speakers, you know, like I, over the last few years, I think even cheaper Bluetooth speakers have gotten really, really good. You know, $200 a pair. You know, some like Ultimate Ears, $200. Well, actually, it's $300, isn't it? Speaker, the Boom. Mm-hmm. I mean, that really sounds like a good speaker. That sounds great. It's a great speaker for its size.
I keep hearing about that speaker, actually.
Yeah, and it's competitive. You know, like a lot of other speakers in that space. You know, there's a few in that space. Bose has one that's fairly cheap. It's supposed to be really good, right? Mm-hmm. You know, so even, I mean, even cheaper speakers sound really good these days. So I'm really excited to hear this thing because I think it's going to sound great.
I know everyone keeps saying that's the one consistent I'm hearing with the speaker is how incredible it sounds. Everyone says it sounds incredible.
What about the subwoofer? Did people say that it was, you know, did it need a subwoofer, a separate subwoofer?
No, there's one built in.
Yeah.
Right, but
an upward.
Does it rattle the windows?
I heard the bass was pretty good in most of the reviews. That's said they were surprised. Too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I like that, you know, with a really good subwoofer, you know, half of it you don't even hear it. You feel it. You feel it in your chest cavity.
Oh, yeah.
Oh yeah.
That's what I love. I was going off the tracks quickly. Okay. Well, any final thoughts from either of you two gentlemen about HomePod? I guess ours are arriving tomorrow. Leander will have more to say.
Yeah, I think it's interesting, isn't it? It's the sort of the iPod for the, you know, for the home. Mm-hmm. You know, and
AKA
I wanna,
the HomePod.
The HomePod, right? Yeah, I guess.
I just made that connection in my mind.
And I wonder why it took 6 years for them to make it.
Yeah, that was interesting reading the process behind it, that it took them so long to perfect, like,
that
the
is a long time
audio
huh,
and everything
to be working on one thing. Uh-huh. But when you read about, they had some journalists go to Apple and they showed them like the behind the scenes, all the equipment and stuff and the rooms they had constructed to build this, and I don't know why it took them so long, but when you see all that went into it, you can just imagine they probably iterated on this thing 100,000 times. They probably just kept making model after model after model. And this is one of those iconic Apple products that only Apple could have made. Only Apple has the vast resources to keep a product like this in hibernation, secret it, you know, and they're just working on it, and no one even knows that it's out there, and it may not ever even get released, and they just keep dumping money into it. No other company has the resources to do something like this. So
I wonder why they didn't try to trot it out sooner, you know, because I mean, if it's 6 years, that predates Alexa, right?
You know what, I think that's probably true.
Yeah.
Well, we did a story a while ago, right, that when they were working on HomePod and then the Amazon ECHO came out, they thought they had a mole. They thought that there was somebody from Amazon inside Apple.
Yeah.
Because they had been working on this for so long. They were shocked when Amazon dropped their product, and they had to retool, and then they realized that the Echo is not an audio product. It's more like a smart speaker. Echo, stop. Jeez. We got to move on. This thing's it's listening to my every word and sending it to Jeff Bezos. Right. All right. Well, let's see here. Before we move on, let me give a quick thanks to Pitney Bowes for supporting this episode. Pitney Bowes is the industry leader in mailing and shipping solutions. No matter what you send or how often, Pitney Bowes has the solution that precisely fits your needs. You can weigh, print, mail, and save. You and your business will save time and money when you print postage. You won't need to wait in the line at the post office, which is one of the worst things in the world that you can do in your life, or worry about putting the correct amount of postage on your letter or package. And plus, effective January 21st, postage rates went up again. They're constantly going up. But with Pitney Bowes, you'll save 3 cents per letter with a Pitney Bowes solution. These discounts are not available at the post office, and if you ship a lot of mail or packages, you know, even a small discount adds up very quickly. You can beat that USPS increase. Whether you're sending a letter or a package, you'll be paying less and saving money. If you're using a Pitney Bowes solution, plans start at just $5. And for our listeners, Pitney Bowes is offering a free trial, so you are sure to find the solution that's right for your business. Visit pb.com/cultcast, pb.com/cultcast to learn more and try it free. pb.com/cultcast. Terms and conditions apply. See the site for details, pb.com/cultcast. All right, let's bang through these other stories real quick so we can get on to what we're into. Let's do this emoji story real fast because we got some new emoji coming up very soon on your iPhone because the emoji 11.0 list has been finalized and features 157 new emoji. And the Unicode Consortium has announced that it will be including superheroes in this latest batch of emoji, redheads. I didn't realize that redheads didn't have their emoji out already. So they'll have a new emoji out on the iPhone, but, you know, still no soul. Parting face, which is going to be what Leander uses a lot when he's communicating with his friends. Hot face, cold face, infinity. Oh, let's see here. We got woozy face, new animals, toilet paper, a critical one, in my opinion, a skateboard, a magnet, a bagel. Finally, Buster, we got bald guy.
Oh, yes. Finally.
You can finally send out bald guy to all your friends and they'll know exactly who you're talking about. And I have to say, I've already gotten several tweets from people about the curly hair guy. He looks exactly like me. If I smile and ruffle my hair up a little bit, it's exactly my emoji. You could expect those to land on your iPhone probably in the fall when Apple updates iOS. That's probably when they'll add the new emoji to iOS. And we'll all be happy about those because who doesn't love new emoji? Oh, my gosh.
Don't they have enough emoji already?
No. Well, there's only like 2,000.
I'm already confused about it. You know, like I go looking for one and I spend hours looking for it and then I can't find it.
Right?
And I give
up. It takes forever to find the right one. But, you know, the more emoji, the better. That's my motto because we need as many emoji as we can get. And plus, I started this hashtag last week and it didn't blow up. It probably got like 7 or 8 retweets, though. And that is the...
that's viral Apple's, for you, isn't it?
that's, you know, 6 or 7 more than I normally get. Apple's hashtag right supremacy, where all the freaking emoji are right hands instead of being inclusive of us left-handed people. Us left-handed people have a serious lack of representation in the emoji, and I think that's a big problem. It's a big problem that needs to be fixed. I've contacted the ACLU, and we're drafting a letter right now to reach out to Tim Cook and ask for some inclusivity for us left-handed people, and I will keep you updated about that. Okay, Buster, strange things are afoot.
Something.
At Apple. Foot.
Something
they're
wild.
Hiring like crazy. Something big is happening over there. Tell us about it.
I mean, Apple's always hiring, but now they're hiring like bananas.
Wait, they're hiring bananas?
Yeah, yeah. Literal banana trees.
This is even weirder than I thought.
I don't know, but they've revved up all of their hiring in, I think, was the beginning of the year. They hired a ton of designers, or maybe it was earlier in the year or last year. And now they're hiring a ton of hardware designers and engineers for, I don't know, something. But it's like they have over 1,000, almost 1,200 openings right now for engineering positions, mm-hmm. which they usually have like 600. So it seems like they're doing a spree for something big.
And their engineering jobs from the period starting in September rose 80% in this period. So what Apple's working on is anyone's best guess, but here are some of the jobs they have open right now. And I'll admit, I would say almost all of these, I'm like, this is a job? How do you even get this? How do you even end up in a job with this long of a title?
They're also specialized.
They're all extremely specialized, precisely. Analog layout designer. Any guesses on what that means? No idea. Advanced material scientist, parentheses, electrolyte development. That's like they're making a new Gatorade or something.
Or like drinks. Because like they do have like somebody that makes fake sweat and stuff like that. So I wonder if that's what?
For what?
For Apple Watch testing.
And AirPods.
Oh. Yeah.
I was like, that's the guy who sprays it ever so gently on Johnny Ive's lip when he's doing some one of those promotional videos. They want to make sure he has a very human look, so they have to like spray them. Anyway, okay. 3D perception, computer vision, algorithm engineer, sensor design engineer, motion sensing hardware engineer, magnetics, and even flexible display technologists. Listen to all these advanced positions. And so what is Apple doing? Well, I don't know. Your guess is as good as mine. There are hundreds of other titles up for grabs too. And only a handful of people at Apple know what's probably going on. So we'll have to wait and see what this turns into. Maybe they are just, you know, bolstering their hiring because they got some tax breaks and they can, you know, afford to hire some new people. Maybe they're working on new products.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure it's both because, yeah, now they have enough money to, I mean, they have always had a shit ton of money. So it's never really been about money. I imagine Apple has a harder time securing like really good people for all these posts.
That would be a problem for sure in Silicon Valley. You have all these other companies vying for smart people too. You have Tesla, and they're all paying a gazillion dollars. It must be good to be an engineer in Silicon Valley. You right. have all these people jostling for your attention. They're all trying to like throw money at you. You're just living the dream out there. Right, Leander?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, it's not that electrolyte one. It's a battery job.
Oh, is it?
But that makes way more sense.
They want someone with an MSc or a PhD.
A PhD?
5 years experience.
Oh, well, that rules me out.
Dang.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. It looks pretty pretty rigorous what they want.
If they need a podcast engineer, advanced. Wait, hold on. Let me come up with my title. Senior Advanced Futuristic Podcast Engineer.
Engineer?
Yeah. Yeah, I engineer the show. I edit it.
That's true, I guess.
Yeah, I would only charge them $300,000 a year, too. I think that's a fair price for my services.
5 years of bullshitting experience.
Dude, you know what? That's a good point. I am an expert bullshitter, too. I can add that
pretends
to my resume.
To know what
some people need a good
5 years
bullshitter.
Of pretending to know what they're talking about. Must make weak jokes.
Give me some credit. 3.5 years. I'd say out of all the shows we've done, there are moments where I actually do know what I'm talking about. You're being a little bit hard on me. all right. Well, with that said, let's go ahead and jump into what we're into. This is a segment where we talk about things that we're currently into that are not necessarily technology related. I have a feeling, Leander, you and I may have the same pick because when we were talking about this on Slack, I said I had something that was very bizarre, and you said you had something that was very fishy. And I was like, ooh, you could describe my pick that exact same way.
Okay.
And I'm wondering if we have the same one.
Who's
so
gonna go first?
Why don't you go first?
Okay, well this is I've got something that has become my new go to lunch.
Oh.
Oh, so
I take that
different?
Back. I take that back.
Okay, so it's not the same thing.
Not related at all, yeah.
I've been eating this for lunch for like about 3 weeks now. The same exact same thing every single day for 3 weeks. And I'm still not sick of it. It's a poke bowl.
Oh, poke bowls. Nice.
You know poke bowls?
I don't even know what that means, Leander. Have you talked about those before?
It's a Hawaiian dish. Like just tuna with rice sometimes, right? Or is it just big chunks of tuna a lot of times?
This one comes with rice. And
okay.
It's like sushi in a bowl, basically, right?
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it's,
now you got my attention.
It comes on a bed of rice, and then you can choose the different kinds of raw fish and veggies like edamame and corn and little bits of carrots and seaweed salad.
Mm.
They top it off with this pokey sauce.
Pokey sauce?
Yeah, which is sort of, I don't know how to describe it. It's kind of like a sweet soy sauce, a bit spicy.
Yeah. Kind of like eel sauce, right?
What sauce? Eel?
Eel sauce.
Eel
a little
sauce.
Bit.
How do they make that? grab the eel and they wring it out.
Yeah, it's like just like kind of like a sweeter, thicker soy sauce.
Yeah.
Ooh, sounds delicious.
It is. Oh my goodness gracious me!
But you only eat once every 7 or 8 days. You've only had it 3 times in the last 3 weeks.
Well, I've gone back to eating, but I haven't been fasting for a while actually.
You give that up for a while?
Yeah, well, I give it. Yeah, because I just, you know, I did. I found it. I was a little bit. You know, I'm stressed out because of this book. So, you know, I didn't want to lay two things on top of each other.
Yeah, and so you just type for a while, and then you stress eat.
Right.
Okay, the poke bowl. Now, where do you get a poke bowl? Is it? Is there like? Because I thought there was a restaurant or something that.
Well, they're all over the place here. You got special poke places. Do they have them in Phoenix, places. Buster?
Yeah, they have poke bowl restaurants here. They have to have them in Seattle from? For sure. Yeah.
I haven't seen one around.
Oh, no. My God, they're definitely going to be in
they
Seattle.
They definitely have them, yeah.
Oh, I'm going to have to look this up, poke bowl. They're often kind of, I love sushi.
They're sort of small takeout places. It's kind of fast food.
Yeah, kind of like fast casual.
All right, poke bowl is Leander's pick. Let me go next, since mine is also kind of fishy. So, I saw two movies last weekend. One was Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle, which I saw for the fourth time.
Jeez.
Because I got a movie pass, why not? And I also enjoyed a free popcorn during that screening because I get rewards for seeing so many movies. So I was there seeing a movie for free, eating my free popcorn. Wow. That was wonderful.
Living the life.
But that's, I'm living the dream over here in Seattle. But then the next night, I went and I saw another movie called The Shape of Water. Have you guys heard of it?
Oh, yeah. I've been meaning to watch it. I think I pirated it a while ago.
You did? Okay. Well, it's still in the movie theater, so I doubt the screening that you got is of very high quality. But
oh,
I didn't even know what I was getting myself into when I went to go see this movie. I was asking the 10-year-old who was ripping my ticket as I was going into the theater what the movie was like, and he goes, "It's bizarre." That's all he said. Well, he was right. I saw that movie, and it was one of the most bizarre movies I've ever seen. It's got a lot of 50s aesthetic to it. It feels like if Walt Disney was on an acid trip and you were watching his hallucinations inside his mind, that's what it's like. The story is completely bizarre, but it's also very whimsical and fun and youthful, and it's one of the most original movies I've seen in probably the last 10 years. It's a lot of fun, and it just has such a beautiful aesthetic. You know, like when you're, you know that, well, this won't resonate with Leander. You know that youthful fun feeling you have when you're at Disneyland, Buster, or like Disney World or something? Uh-huh. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay. That's what you feel when you're watching this movie. It's just full of wonder and quirkiness, and it was pretty good, and it has all these crazy twists in it that you definitely would never see coming. In fact, some of them are downright strange. I mean, by the end of the movie, we were like all like looking around when those lights are coming up, and I was like, "What the hell just happened? What the hell did I just watch?" But the more time I have away from the movie, the more I'm like, "It's no Jumanji." But I really did like it a lot. It's in theaters right now. So if you want to see it, I do think it's worth going to the theater to see. It's The Shape of Water. I don't want to tell you anything else about it. I don't want to spoil anything. But it's wonderfully quirky. And it's a pretty great movie. So I recommend it. Buster, what's yours? Take us home.
Oh, dude. I got a surprise pick for you, baby.
Oh, I love these.
I decided, okay, I was rolling around on my one wheel the other day. And I broke my iPhone in a crash.
So yeah. I knew the story was going to go there.
I decided to upgrade to the iPhone 10, and you know what?
Oh,
like,
bam!
I'm like really in love with this thing. I think it's actually pretty perfect. So
yeah,
I should have never doubted this thing. I was thinking I wouldn't like the smaller size, but I think that's perfect because I'm always fumbling with my iPhone 7 Plus, and so I think the smaller size is awesome. Mm-hmm. And it's just like the sexiest piece of technology I think I've ever seen. Like, just the design on it's so perfect. And it's weird.
Do you have a case for it?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I'm going to get a hardcore one too. But like, I already have a case on it. Yeah. Yeah. Don't worry.
I've already dropped mine like 10 times.
Really? Have you broken it?
No. I have a pretty nice case on it right now. I have a spec case. It's like a Galaxy Scene.
Okay.
So I have a Galaxy wallpaper on the front and then on the back. It has like a Galaxy Scene as well. It's totally Galaxy now. You'd love it.
Sounds so sexy, so spacey.
Yeah, it's very sexy.
Yeah.
But it's also very protective, so I haven't gotten a single mark on my phone yet.
Nice.
So you love it because the screen is nice and big. How do you like having a home button?
Yeah, that's kind of weird to get used to, but yeah, it's kind of nice. Like, you eliminate fewer steps, you know, in the whole thing, so that's cool. True Tone Display, I think, is like game changer, though. I was just like sitting here editing photos side by side on like the iPhone 7 Plus and then this, and it's just they look so much better on the 10. It's insane.
It's crazy. I remember when I first got my iPhone 10 in box, and I was sitting here looking at it, and there's a lot of windows in my studio here, And the ear outside was kind of eerily colored, and I looked down at my phone, and it was matching the color of the ambient light outside. And I was like, dude, this is crazy. Yeah. That it can read that, and it can emulate that and mimic that same type of tonality. I've never owned a gadget that could do that before. I don't know. I actually don't know how useful it is, but it makes you feel cool, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That your phone does it.
I don't know. And the notch isn't that big of a deal at all.
Yeah, right. You just don't notice it, do you?
Yeah, really. I mean, yeah, it would be nicer if it was smaller just so you could get more information up there. That's like the only complaint I would say about it. But Apple did a really good job with this phone. I wish I would have bought it earlier.
Man, the one thing I'll also say is the photos out of this phone are so much more superior to any iPhone I have ever owned, especially over the 7. Even over the 7, they're way, way better over the 7.
That's why I bought it, actually, because I was reading that Steven Soderbergh interview where he says he's just going to shoot on iPhones the rest of his life. And I was like, you know what? If the iPhone's good enough for Steven Soderbergh, it's probably good enough for me.
I don't know about that. I think you're more, far, far more discerning.
Definitely agree. Well, you know, I don't know if it's the HDR on the screen that makes the photos look better or if it's the actual camera itself, because, you know, the photos are able to display more colors on this screen than they are on other iPhones. I don't know what it is, but I remember I took a picture of my daughter at Costco. We were just like in the cart. And I took a picture of her, and I was looking at it later, and I was like, dude, this picture looks incredible. She's underneath the lights, you know, going into the Costco. And then in the background, you can see like the sky is gray, and you can still see all the detail in the clouds and everything. And I was just looking at that one picture, and that's when I realized, wow, this camera setup on this phone is much more special than I think I ever realized. And now I notice it all the time. I mean, the photos I get out of this phone are really unbelievable for a phone. I mean, some of them I would say look even better than some of my SLRs that I have. I mean that. I mean, I really do mean that. Like some of the photos I've taken, I feel like they're more, the colors look better. There's more definition. There seems to be even more dynamic range in some of the pictures. I don't know if that's actually true or that's just my perception of it.
But I enjoy shooting with my iPhone way more than with my DSLR. So, and that's like another thing. Like you can't do night shots, but that's pretty much the only thing I can't do on the iPhone that I would want to on my DSLR. Video, like you got the 4K 60 frames per second. Like that's awesome. So I don't know. Yeah, I think it's an awesome shooter.
Well, if you are interested in any things we talked about in today's show, I'll make sure that I go ahead and post those in the show notes so you can get yourself your very own Poke Bowl or maybe go and see a great movie this weekend, The Shape of Water. But let's go ahead and wrap it up there. That's all the Coldcast we have for you guys this week. Remember, next week we'll actually have our HomePod. So we'll have our hands-on HomePod episode next week. Leander and I can talk about our actual hands-on experience with those two speakers. Thanks again to Pitney Bowes for supporting this episode. Remember, you can print postage from your office and take advantage of special discounts, such as saving 3 cents per letter. And plans start at just $5 a month at pb.com/cultcast. pb.com/cultcast. That's all the Coldcast we have for you guys this week. If you want to come say hi or talk to us about any of the items that we talked about in today's show, we're on Twitter. I'm at AirFunBusters, BST3R. Leander is L. Caney. This has been the Coldcast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Coldcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys. Wait for it. Next time. Did that pay off, Leander?
That was well worth waiting for.
Oh my God. Was that worth the wait? You grew up in New Mexico. What part?
Roswell, New Mexico.
You're kidding.
Yeah.
How have I not known that about you?
Yeah.
That's an interesting fact.
I know. It's random, right?
So did you ever, I mean, we always made fun of Alex for getting beamed up by aliens. Did you get any butt probes while you were out there? By aliens? Did. And I don't mean the... I don't mean undocumented.
Yeah, that's like the joke my dad would always say when people would ask if you see aliens. I'm like, oh, all the time, yeah, you know, coming across the border. Like the sweet dad joke.
Solid
dad,
dad joke, bro.
Yeah.
You lived in Roswell, New Mexico until you were how old?
18.
You're kidding. So you grew up there your entire life.
It was an odd place, yeah, for sure.
Is it very big?
Nah, it's like 45,000 people.
I would have expected it to be larger.
Like middle of nowhere, just plains. Like there's mountains maybe 80 miles away, but kind of nothing else.
So just big and flat.
Yeah. And
I've always wanted to go to New Mexico. I bet I would love it.
New Mexico is awesome. It's different than Arizona, like not as hot. And I think it's got it's got a different type of beauty. Like the culture is totally different than anywhere else, I think, because you got like a lot more Indian influences there and Mexican influence.
Oh, right. Got it.
Yeah.
What's the big city in New Mexico?
Albuquerque.
Oh.
And Santa Fe's almost as big as
those. Those are such lame names for places to live. It's like, where do you live? I live in Albuquerque. Like, yeah. What?
Yeah, and trying to like tell people how to
spell it. Turn your mic down, would you?
Yeah, I'm trying to. Sorry.
I can hear what's happening across the street.
Yeah, I know.
Oh. Did you know that Buster grew up in Roswell, New Mexico?
Yeah, yeah.
You knew that?
Oh, I guess it's just me that didn't know it.
Yes, he's talked about it many times.
Not on this show.
On the podcast, yeah.
Who has?
I've definitely probably talked to him about it with Tracy and Leander before.
You've probably talked about it with them. I don't think you've ever talked about it on the show.
Yeah.
I feel like that's something that I would remember, but...
Huh.
I have been known to forget things from a time to time.
Yeah.
You're right, though. It is pretty memorable, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it's a pretty iconic location as far as entertainment and media is concerned. People are always making content about dudes getting their butt probes in Roswell. It's like the butt probing HQ of the U.S.
They make the town look
like
way cooler than it is,
85% of the butt probes happen in Roswell.